because we're trying to woo the church. You don't fall in love with me. You don't come to see me. You came to see him. It's all about him. Amen. And let it be said, as the scripture says, that it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. Not a pastor, not a man or a woman. I can't save nobody. But let it be said that Jesus was in this house. Glory be to God. Are you ready for the word?
Yeah.
Give the Lord a hand of praise for all the ministry that went before us. You don't know I'm a blessed man. Can I get a little more volume? Because I find myself, you know, I be hollering at my own self. I be trying to tell myself what's going on. That's what my dad told me. But watch this. This is your last time. Stand to your feet for the reading of God's word. Open up your Bible to the book of Psalms, chapter 85. And I'm going to read this text out of the Amplified Bible so that we can get a clear picture. I got 30 minutes to do a deep, in-depth something. Amen? Because you know we're celebrating Easter. Amen. And we know Easter is indicative of the resurrection. We know it's indicative of the Passover. We just went past Good Friday. Amen. But I'm going to deal with a little bit of all that today. Because whatever happens, I want you to be able to leave here and be able to tell somebody, to be able to explain to somebody, to be able to make clear to somebody the gospel truth. See, we've been living with lies. And we've been accepting them because of the fact that we just heard the traditional aspect of it. And I'm not opposed to the holidays that we celebrate. I celebrate them too because I'm mature enough to live in both worlds. And I'm going to show you the balance of spiritual and practical. Amen. But I reverence who I am in the spiritual, but I have to live in the. Come on, somebody. In Psalms chapter 85, and if you would, look at verse 15. If there's not no 15 there, 13, well, that'd be good. Okay. You got 13? Well, look at verse 12 then. Every time you look at them, they say a little bit more, amen? Well then, let's look back a little bit more. I'm with you now. Go to verse 12. I mean, chapter 84, verse 12. Let's start there. And let's read. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, amen? It says, O Lord of hosts, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied is the man who trusts in you. Learning and believing on you, committing all and confidently looking to you, and that without fear of misgiving or misgiving. Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask you to bless the word. But Father, we ask you to bless the hearers, but more so, bless the doers in Jesus' wonderful name. And we all said amen.
Amen.
And amen. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. You know, God has blessed us according to the Bible. He says, blessed is happy, fortunate, and to be envied. The man that trusts in the Lord. That's not man like male or female. I mean, male gender is male or female. Blessed is those that trust in the Lord and happy to be envied. What I want to talk to you today is about understanding the Passover. See, because listen. We all here as men and women of God, we're walking in the kingdom. One thing I'm responsible to do is to preach the gospel. I'm responsible to teach the word. It's a sad thing when you go to the school and you look at the children and the children have no knowledge, insight, or information about the subject that the teacher is getting paid for. So do you criticize the student or do you get mad with the See, I don't want it to ever be an indictment against the church of the living God that you came and I don't preach the word. Amen. Thank God for all that hooping and hollering and gorilla flipping. The kids just blessed us. But when it comes time to this book, we got to become educated and skilled and knowledgeable about the revelation of Jesus Christ, because you'll never become a benefactor if you don't understand the benefits. Amen. We got too many folks who, but they don't understand anything that they shouting about. And then when the storms come, have you ever been in a storm? Well, your life get turned upside down. Your world get twisted. Circumstance happen. And watch this. Your excitement will not be enough to deliver you. You're going to have to know something about what he did in order to become a benefit of what he gave you. Yeah. Amen. So this is where we come to the place where I got to teach it. Now, I'm going to take my time this morning. I know I ain't got but so much time, so I'm not going to try to work around it. I'm just going to stay concentrated. I know this is one, you already got the fluff. Kids did well, ministered music, they all, so you got that. So now let's get down to some more business, some more in-depth business. Come on, somebody. Now let's deal with this. In Psalms chapter 85, he said, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied. Now the feast of the Passover is indicative of our salvation, amen. See, we got to know what happened to us when we got saved. See, if I don't know what happened, again, I could never benefit from when it happened. All I can tell you is something happened, but I'm not for sure what it was in detail. So therefore, I could be walking around misappropriating what was given to me because I don't know my benefits. So now watch this. It says that the feast of the Passover is to keep. You got to keep it fresh and keep it in remembrance. That's what we do when we do the pass. I mean the communion. He said, do this in what is he saying? See, I want to make you know exactly what the kingdom is. What he really saying is everything that you do and live in life, you do this in remembrance of what I did for you. See, when you take communion, it reminds you of your salvation. So therefore, I'm God conscious when I do my daily activity. See, what happens with the church can become so spiritual that you're not no godly good, not earthly. See, because you can be saying spiritual stuff, but don't have an understanding of what spiritual stuff you're talking about. You're just saying something and it sounds powerful, but really you're not benefiting from what you're saying. So he says, do this in remembrance of me. But also you got to keep Jesus in front of your life. What do that mean? Everything as a man or woman of God that I do, I need to look and see, you know, that thing they used to wear. What would Jesus do? But that was good because it was coined, but it turned into a fad. Because the revelation of it was really real. What would he do is what you should do when you're dealing with what he had to deal with. Because he was your pattern or the answer for how you get your progress. So the question was not just walking around, what would Jesus do? You really had to ask yourself and then go search the answer. So we wore the wristbands, but we didn't have the answers. So we was catching hell even though we had the band on. Because we never knew what he did. It just became a theme to say, what would Jesus do? Okay, you said something, but now what's the answer? What will he do? So not only do we have to keep in remembrance, but we got to keep Jesus in front of us, but also you got to keep the devil under your feet. See, because watch this. He's already under your feet. Jesus went down and took captivity captive. He destroyed the works of the devil in your life. So there's no child of God that should be bound by the devil unless you have went back and reopened the, because Jesus already defeated the devil. I'm going to teach you something today. See, the scripture says that Jesus, John the Baptist, according to the scriptures in John chapter 1, he said, here come the Lamb of God that took away the sin. He didn't say sins. He said that took away the sin. See, Jesus came and took away the sin nature. But you're still living with sins. But this is where grace covered the multitudes of my sins. See, if I understand what Jesus did, I can implement grace. What Jesus gave you was a power that no sin would ever have power over you again. Can I? Oh, come on, church, come on. Come on, come on. See, if we don't understand what we doing, you'll walk around practicing, acting like you doing something, and the devil gonna charge you for acting. This is why some of us can't get no victory, because we pretending that we know. But all the time, you really don't know what you saying you know. Come on, come on. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. See, there's a difference between a promise, a proverb, and provisions. See, when Jesus Christ died, he gave a promise that now you have victory over sin. The proverbs is the mysteries of the kingdom, but the provisions is what you got as a result of his death. See, if you don't understand the provisions, you're living in a proverb. Can I want to work a little bit. Shut up. I'm not going to be able to touch all the text. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Are you there? Yes. See, because God has already given us the victory. We should not be running around trying to get victory. The only reason you're trying to get it is because you relinquished it somewhere. Somewhere you gave it back up when he gave it to you. That's why Jesus had to come back down. Because he had to come back down and reinstate what God had already gave us. Amen. When God created the world, he said the 6 days and the seventh day he rested. Meaning that seventh day, God says, I'm finished with everything that pertained to man. Now man can live. God didn't work on the seventh day. That's why the seventh day turned into a Sabbath. So he says, 6 days you're working, the seventh day you're going to rest. So now you should be in an eternal rest. But how we get out of the rest is when we go into sin like Adam did. So when Adam went back into sin, Jesus had to come back to work. He was sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he got the call that Adam done slipped down there. And Adam done opened that door back up. So God said, son, would you go down there and handle that for me? But God, listen, God did not start off talking about one day, 2 days. God said, no, that program is over. God said, this is going to be the eighth day. And the eight is the number of new beginnings. So God says, when you go back down here, I need you to start a new program. See, this is where we came out of the old covenant and you're into the new covenant. Am I preaching this right? See, listen. See, we understand the old covenant and we should honor all the rules of that. But because of Adam's sin, the old covenant is not in, it's not the process, the program that you're working under now. You had to get up, back up under a new covenant. So God says, now I'm going to do a greater work. It's in him now. I don't want to drive by this because I know it's deep, but I want you to be able to take this home and eat on it and eat on it, eat on it. Because the greater your revelation, the greater your ability to walk in the power. See, we still, listen. Ain't nothing wrong when I'm going to deal with the feast in Leviticus chapter 23. There were seven feasts that was really implemented, but there was three major feasts. The three major feasts was broken down into the seven feasts. And the first one that they dealt with was the feast of Passover. That's, see, you got to do first things first. Ain't no sense in you reading the Bible if you ain't saved. Amen. The Bible don't profit you if you're not into the covenant. Ain't no sense in you going to Progressive if you don't have a policy. Go park your car down to Progressive. Tell them somebody hit you. You had nothing to do with it. First thing they're going to ask you, what is your policy number? And if you don't have a policy, sir, we understand, man, we understand your misfortune, and even what happened to your car, but we're not liable to cover you. So watch this. So in order to get into the feast, you had to start off with the Passover. Now, the Passover back in the Jewish or the Israel time, the Passover was indicative of, watch this. This is how they identified getting out of Egypt. I'm going to work with you, and I don't want to preach it. I got to drive by because of my time, but I want to lay it down. They had to come out of Egypt But now since we came out of Egypt, we wasn't back in that day. So in order for us to benefit from that concept, we had to get up under a new covenant. So how we came out of Egypt was through Jesus. See, it was Jesus' crucifixion that got us the same thing they got. Come on, somebody. Now watch this. Watch this. See, in Hebrews, man of God said, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Don't go there. It's there. Trust me. The Bible says, go on unto perfection, talking about the doctrine of Christ. In order for us to go on, you got to grow up. See, a lot of people keep going, but they ain't growing. See, that's why I say, don't come and go with us. Come and grow with us. It's time to grow up. See, we walking around acting like we somebody that we are, but we're not who we say we are. See, the Old Testament was the types and shadows or the patterns. The New Testament is the fulfillment and the prophecy. See, watch this. The Old Testament is talked about what... I'm making this so plain that the kids can pick it up. See, the Old Testament was indicative of the plan before the fall. See, God had a plan. But just like man, you know, he was in charge, sitting down there chilling, and all of a sudden he had a bright idea. We're going to do better than the plan. We're going to come up with our own. So man erred, and now God had to reinstate or come up with a new plan because you violated the old one. So that plan ain't going to save you no more. And in order for me to come and take authority over what you gave back, I got to come up with a greater. The Bible says that if one bound, then a strong man got to come in. So I got to put something stronger than what you. So Jesus came and overthrew what we gave back. That's why the resurrection is so important. See, he wasn't raised. He resurrected. See, you can fall down right now, heart stop beating in 20, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, all of a sudden somebody, and you jump up. Now you raised. Resurrection was when he went in that ground. They put that dirt on him. They left him for 3 days. And he got up. See, if he didn't get up, you can't get up. You can't get out of sin. You can't get out of sickness. You can't get out of disease, drugs. See, so it's very important that he got up. But now watch this. I'm just driving by this because I really want to plow into it, but I can't. Turn to Leviticus chapter 23. I know I had your 1 Corinthians 5. See, all that was for your learning. See, it's not for you to practice, and ain't nothing wrong with practicing it because it still has its emphasis, and especially in the Jewish custom because that's a part of their heritage. Yeah. But that's not how you getting saved today. Yeah. You can go have a feast. You can do whatever you do. That's not the covenant that we're under today. Yeah. Have you ever heard of the grandfather clause? Uh-huh. You know, you're doing business, and some people got in under the grandfather clause. Now, you covered because of the old system, but really the system done changed. And if you wasn't in the old, you can go eat all you want to. You still going to hell because you're going to need Jesus. So you got to get up under the new covenant. This is done by greater works. What's the greater works? It's Christ in you. They're not waiting on Christ. Christ has came. He's risen. He's alive in me. Look at Leviticus chapter 23. Are you hearing anything? Yes. See, because now we celebrate Good Friday, and ain't nothing wrong with it, but I'm here to tell you that Good Friday ain't really the Good Friday they talking about, because Jesus couldn't have died on Friday. Don't make me work. In Leviticus chapter 23, you read it all. The 7 feasts are in there, but let's go to, my God. Leviticus 23. Look at verse. I want to get to it so I can get past this. Glory be to God. Verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord. Now he's talking about the feast, because see, the Israel, they got 2 calendars. Come on, they got a civil calendar and they got a religious calendar. See, now the religious calendar is indicative of the spiritual work that God has done. And we, as even Western Christians, should be conscious of the the religious calendar, because these are the days that they honor and worship in honor of the Lord. Just like in the civil calendar, we honor Martin Luther King, George Washington's birthday. See, these are nothing but feasts. They're called days of celebration. So, but we're doing it from a Western world perspective. But the Jewish calendar is equally indicative to us. But now the difference is we're not under the Jewish law. Meaning that the same way they got it saved, delivered, is not the way you get saved, delivered. But you can still appreciate it because it's all about him. So I can enjoy the customs and do the feast, all that, because it makes me more conscious of him. But I'm under the new grace. For the Bible says that grace, by grace are you saved. Not of works, least any man. So me eating the feast and doing all that ain't gonna save me. But I need to do it to keep me conscious of who he is, what he done. All that has its place. But we can't replace. Can I preach this right?
Yes, you are.
You can't replace what he put in place. Because that's what he did back then. But that's not what he's doing now. But it's all good. As long as you got to understand it. Look at verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them concerning the feast, not one, feast, plural, of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be a what? Holy convocation. Holy convocation is nothing but a day of festivity. It's a day of celebration. So we all got holy convocations. Your birthday. It's your birthday. That's a holy convocation. In regards to just the concept of a time of feast. It's a time to celebrate. We invite all everybody over, going to my birthday party, because it's my birthday. Well, it was Jesus' birthday. But now watch this. Let's get out to a little business here. He says, which you shall proclaim to be a holy convocation. Even these are many feasts. 6 days shall work be done. But the seventh day, what does that sound like? In the beginning, God created the earth. In the first day, the second day. See, they re-establishing what he did. But it's up under the old covenant. He says on verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, a rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. And it is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, we won't work with that because there's many Sabbaths, but I'm going to deal with the context of this text. See, because just like the Bible said in Hebrew chapter, the baptisms. See, there's more than one baptism. But if you don't know how to rightly divide the word, you just think he's talking about baptism with the Holy Ghost. No, he said the baptisms. Verse 4, and these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Verse 5, and in the 14th day of the first month at even. Now, I got to work right here because this is the point that you got to reestablish the other point, even in terms of his crucifixion, when he died. Even in terms of Good Friday, because they saying Good Friday is the day that he died. But the scripture says, as it was, that the Son of Man, like Jonah was in the well of the belly, the Son of Man must be in the earth 3 days and three nights. Can I work right here? So now if 3 days and three nights got to come out of Friday, let's do the math. Friday. Because he said 3 days and three nights. But the scripture says that in the evening. See, because in the Jewish custom, the evening begins at 6 o'clock. So if you said 6 o'clock till 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock p.m., because the Bible says evening, which means twilight. Which means getting to nighttime. So if it's 6 o'clock, this is Friday at 6 o'clock in the evening, you got to go to Saturday to 6 o'clock in the evening to constitute what? One day. So now that's Saturday is one day. So I'm Saturday at 6 o'clock in the evening. And I got to go from 6 to 6, which is Sunday at 6. That's 2 days. But the Bible said he rose early Sunday morning. So then he couldn't have died Friday night. I petition to you. He died Wednesday night. Come on, somebody. Talk to me up in here. Listen, listen, listen. Because if he died in the evening on Wednesday night, then that's Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Then Thursday night at 6 is one day. Then now here's Thursday night at 6 till Friday night at 6 is 2 days. So Friday night at 6 till Saturday night at 6 is 3 days. When the scripture says, like the kids said, that they came and looked for him early Sunday morning and he wasn't there. So that means he rose up before they got there. They declared nobody know what time he got up, but they know when they went there Sunday morning, he wasn't there. Come on, somebody. See, listen, listen. God is showing us that once I open up to you, see, this is turn to Luke chapter 24. I'm going to get you out of here. I'm going to get you out of here. I shotgunned this and went past. If you want to know more about it, come sit with me. We'll sit down and talk. But Luke chapter 24. Are you hearing anything? See, God wants us to know the revelation of the difference. See, you got to know what the revelation is to be able to tell the difference. Because if you don't, you're going to say what everybody else saying. But they have not went and searched the scriptures to find if that stuff is true. This is where the Bible says that you got to know how to rightly divide the word. Are you hearing anything? I'm going to get you out of here. You say, preacher, let me go. This is too much for me. I know it's too much, but I'm letting the devil know that there's a man of God in the house, that Jesus is still on the throne, that he raised for our salvation, for my deliverance. See, my salvation is not in vain. I'm talking about I'm walking in the power of God. I'm walking in the authority of God. Once I come to know the word of God, all things become subject unto me because it was subject unto him. It's not that I'm a bad nobody. It's just I know in whom I believe. See, the Bible said when you come to know him, Acts chapter 17, we've been going over that text. It's in him we live. It's in him we move. It's in him we have. See, you got to get in him. I'm talking about get into what you into. If you in it, get in it. Open that book up. Search it out. Take these tapes home. Dig it out. Are you in Luke chapter 24? Turn to John chapter 1. I know. I'm going to get you right back to Luke. Then I'm going to get you out of here. Can I buy 5 minutes? Let me just buy 5 minutes. I know it's Easter. Can I do it in his name? Yes. Yes. Look at John. See, because you got to know this. And the more you know about him, I'm talking about power, authority. Glory be to God. Now, this is John. See, John was sitting there, and John was fellowshipping with him, and John saw Jesus coming from afar. And now, see, you remember the story about when Jesus had to go into the church, and they was in the money changers and turned the tables over? See, because what that really was about was they was in there because they was looking for a Passover. They needed a lamb for a sacrifice. So they in there selling lambs. They got powder and everything, putting it on the lamb, because the lamb could not have no blemish, couldn't have spots, couldn't have no defects. They in there selling all kind of lambs. Lamb like this. They straighten his leg up, put him up. You know, because you know, folks get into business now. They got his leg propped up like this, and they telling you, he the lamb. He going to save you. How much you got? So the little kids, you can just see the little kids. They walking around there. Can I play with that lamb? They're like, go on, boy. Leave that lamb alone. Don't move him, because I got him propped up for sale. Because when Jesus came, he said, man, this ain't how this thing go. These lambs can't save these folk, but they in there selling them as if they could. Merchandising the kingdom. He turned the tables over to get out of here with that. But it was so funny that the day he went and they was presenting the lambs was the same day he went and presented himself, because he became the exchange. See, he's the lamb. Oh, glory to God. He's the lamb of God that had to be crucified so we can have power, authority, and have salvation. He told them, get them old broke lambs out of here. Get that pot out your pocket. You spotting them up, straighten them up, making them look like they're going to save somebody. Because watch this. When they presented the lamb to the priest wouldn't even look at the people. They got cigarettes. They kicking it. Got two women. He didn't look at them. He trying to see if the lamb right. Rubbing his belly. Looking up his ear. That lamb couldn't say, come on, somebody. Because the lamb was not pure. That's why when Jesus rose out of the grave and Mary and them came and saw him, they say he told them, don't touch me yet. Because I've not shown myself. And I don't want to be contaminated. Because see, God is the Lamb. He sent Jesus to be the Lamb of God for our sacrifice. That's how we get out of sin. That's how you get delivered from your problem. That's how you come out. It's the Lamb of God. He's the one that makes a way where there is no way. He opened up doors where there is no door. It's by the grace of God. It's the blood of the Lamb. Watch the text. John chapter 1 verse 29. And the next day, that John see of Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin. He didn't say sins. He said sin. See, because you got to get your sin nature right. We trying to get folks living right and they still got a nature to sin. Because they ain't saved. See, the Lamb, the blood has not been on the post of their life. Go get a dog and a dog gonna bark. I don't care what you do to it. It may take him a little while. You may have to kick him. But in a while, he gonna bark because that's his nature. That's why them folks sticking their head in them lions came to understand. I don't care how long you've been training them. How long you got them wrapped up in your yard with that train on. That one day that lion gonna remember he a lion. And he caught them folk head up in there. Talking about he a domestic cat. How in the heck that's a domestic cat? Put some blood out there on that table and watch that lion come alive. You know the story they told about the lion? They said a man had a lion in the cage and he said he and the people was coming to try to kill the lion. He said, I got to get down there and help the lion. I got to save him. No, you ain't got to help that lion. Just open that cage. That lion will help itself. You down there trying to defend that lion. All you got to do is unleash that joker and its natural instincts will come up. We got some folks that got natural instincts to do wrong. You done got them out of one situation and another, and they still doing it because the blood ain't in them. They ain't had a blood transfusion yet. See, they still got bad blood. It's in them. It's in their blood. It's not in their conduct. They may even want to stop, but the blood get hot. Boy, don't make me preach to you up in here. Now listen, listen. You out of here. You're going to get out of here. John said, here he come. The one that take away the sins of the world. And this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me. I don't want to mess with it. But Jesus came from God. In the book of John, after Jesus finished the work, now Jesus said, God, Father, restore unto me the joy, the fellowship we had before the world began. He said, now I done came. I became the substitute. Those that you gave me, I lost none. Now my work is finished. Let me come back up and sit beside you like I was before you sent me on this mission. Oh, come on, church. God sent his son to save us. Now his son sitting on the right hand of the Father, keeping us. Making, this is Bible, making intercession for you. You wonder how you ain't lost your mind. You wonder how you ain't quit. You wonder how you ain't gave up. It's because of the blood. It's because of the Father. It ain't because you doing so good. You keep going doing what you're doing. But it's the Father making intercession for you that's keeping you so that the devil can't have you because you're under the covenant of God. Oh, give me my hand of praise. Ah, Shaka. This is why we say, let the blood speak. See, this is why the death angel is passing over your life. It's because of the covenant of God. It ain't because you all that right. You ain't faking nobody. It's the grace of God that's keeping you. If God ever loses, lift his hand up off you, you will be a hot mess walking around here. You look real good right now. But I'm telling you, if you had to pay for every sin that you are committing, you won't look like you look today. You'll look like Jesus did up on that cross when they hit him with them. Come on, because you got it. The wages of sin is death. You got to pay for what you're doing. The only reason death ain't came upon you is because grace been covering you. And you act like you don't know. You act like Jesus ain't died for you. You got enough nerve in the face of a living God to act like that God ain't been good to you. It's the grace of God that's been keeping us. And we ought to give the Lord some praise. See, watch this. And we out of here. We out of here. See, when the death angel passed over them, see, this is the last. Remember when he told Moses, this is the last plague that I'm going to deal with Pharaoh. The plague he was dealing with was going to be indicative of, I'm dealing with the death of man. Once I come and deal with this one, man won't be subject to death anymore. You got to go through the process of death. But you will never experience death because the Bible says, absent from this body, I'm present with the Lord. Come on, somebody. I'm under a new blood covenant. The grace of God got me. Oh, help me, somebody. Now, I may have some sickness, and I go, and we all gonna die one day because the scripture said it's appointed unto every man once to die. But some of us will never see death. Amen. Glory be to God. What's some good news? You'll never see death. It's the death process. That's why he said in the scriptures, oh grave, where's the death? Where's your sting? It's the sting of death that kill you. You know, you hear that old saying, what is it? Sorrow may come in the night, but joy come in the morning. Weeping may come in the night, but joy come in the morning. But see, that was even indicative of the death process. Because, see, it was in the nighttime. Why did Jesus come? Why did he say in the night? Because the night is the dark times in your life. Amen. See, them the times where you need Jesus to come and show up. If God be God, it's the nighttime. Come on, somebody. It's the time when all hell done broke out. It's the time when my father, my husband done left me. I lost my kids. It's the time. Come on, somebody. But joy comes in the morning. Joy is indicative of the resurrection. You get power in the... Because of Jesus, you can live again. You can laugh again. You can love again. You can marry again. You can have a baby again. It's joy come in the morning. Am I preaching this right? See, joy come in the morning. What joy am I speaking about? The joy of the Lord is my strength. I got hope in God again. I can't even trust my husband, but I can believe God. He said, listen here, Jesus went down into the in the pit of hell. It was dark. And he took captivity captive. And he gave gifts unto men. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get out of here. I'm out of here, y'all. I'm gone. But now watch this. This is the same nighttime that Samson, come on now. Samson broke the gates at midnight. They thought they had Samson. Samson got right with God. And listen here, it was at midnight, the power of God. Some of us walking around like Samson, keep shaking yourself, but don't realize the anointing is gone. You ain't working with nothing. You got to have a midnight experience. You're going to have to be broken. You're going to have to go through something. You're going to see what Samson saw. Talk to me, somebody. Jesus went down. Just like it was with Ruth. Ruth went and laid at the feet of Boaz at midnight. Boaz was her new kinsman redeemer. Boaz was indicative of Jesus Christ. It ain't till you come to Christ that you're going to get a new life. You're going to get a new hope. You're going to get a new chance. You're going to come on, somebody.
It's in him we live. It's in him we move. Paul and Silas, they was in prison, and it was at midnight. They got the praise in the Lord. Hallelujah. They got the clapping their hands, stomping their feet, and the gates opened up. God said, I'm the God of the day, but I'm also the God of the night. Do you know him in the nighttime? Have you seen him on your night watch? Have you seen him when the lights went out in your world? Yeah, I know you know him when your pocket's fat. You don't really know him. He's just been good to you. But you don't come to know him until he show up in the midnight hour. You don't know him until he pull you out of what they say you can't get out of. He deliver you from what they say they can't deliver you from. He heal you from what they say can't be healed. Come on, somebody. You got to know him in the midnight hour. This ain't no game for no players. This is the ones that are going to play the game. It's in him we live, move, and have. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. See, this was like the 10 virgins. There were some wise and some foolish. But the Bible says that at midnight, they went and put oil in their lamps. When the times got rough, it got hard. They didn't go sell dope. They got saved. They didn't go to the world. They got right with God because they realized it was midnight. Oh, help me, somebody. The Bible says weeping, but joy comes in the morning, early in the morning. This is Easter Sunday. I want to declare to you, early in the morning, he rose, he rose, he rose, he rose. And because he rose, you can get up again. You can walk again. You can live again. You can love again. You can have again. I don't care if you're broke and bankrupt. You can get it again because he rose. Is this all right, man? Am I preaching it right? Good, 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 good. Because he rose. See, you want to go where you can preach the gospel. I don't want no little pansy. I'm too old for that. I ain't got time to play games. I done church. I need to know, is he is? Are he the one or do I look for another? But he is who he say he is. Give him a hand of praise if you believe it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm through. I'm through. Because if I keep going, I feel a rapture coming. If I keep talking about it, I can tell you, he can do it again. I can tell you, he can make the crooked things straight. He lives! He lives! It's time to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, give your neighbor a high five. Say he lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. You gonna make it. You gonna make it. You gonna make it. You gonna make it because he lives. I want to tell you, you gonna make it, man of God, because he lives. It ain't about us. It's all about him. You got to say uncle before the devil make you an aunt. He gonna punk you for your own stuff. This your stuff. This your stuff. This your stuff. Give me my stuff back. Give me my stuff back. That's what I'm talking about. Give me my stuff back. Get my house back. Get my marriage back. Get my job back. Get my career back. Get my health back. Get my wealth back. Give me my stuff back. We've been putting up with it too long. Give me my stuff back. You got to know in whom you believe. Now watch this. Sit down, sit down, sit down. Sit down. I'm telling you, y'all, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Give me my stuff back. I'm coming to get my stuff. I ain't coming to go church. I'm coming to get my stuff. Teach me how to get my stuff, Pastor. Teach me how to get my stuff back. Now watch this. Let me help you. Let me help you with something. Your Christianity don't hinge on, actually, in all truth, you would be better off if you was a fool and just done everything he said than to get knowledge and think you know more than what he's talking about. Because see, if I was just a fool and just did what he told me, I would be obedient every time he said it. You can't get no higher than obedience. But God loves us because you've given him everything you got. Don't ever weigh yourself, compare yourself to nobody else. That's unwise. That's why the church is moving and growing, because God accepts us the way you are. Give him all you got, and that's the acceptable will of God. You ain't got to be like God. People selling spirituality like you're going to become. That's how Adam and Eve missed it. They wanted to become like God. Stay subject to what God says, and you'll always be in the will of God, which and makes you right with God. It ain't perfection. It's obedience. Father, we bless you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the grace that has been given unto us. You take the foolish things and turn them into wise. That's why you wouldn't let wise men walk around with the kingdom glory, because God, they would think themselves to be higher even than you. But it's those that humble themselves and identify that it is all about you. And Father, we acknowledge you. We reverence you because of who you are and for what you've done. We worship you today, God. We celebrate the Passover because it's by grace through faith and not of ourselves. Ain't nothing we can do to make ourselves right with you, make you do no more than what you're going to do. But we can just learn what you've done and get in on it. I bless you for every man, woman, and child under the sound of my voice. Release your grace upon us. Release your anointing. Let your favor just burn through us, God. Let people come and show us that they see the glory of God on the inside of us. They see Jesus in us, in spite of us, like it was with the priest with the lambs. It wasn't the men that he was confirming. It was the lamb. See, the men ain't right. We ain't right. The Bible says there's none righteous, not one, not none of us. But it's the power of God that save, heal, deliver. And once we accept that, we become righteous to the glory of God. So we bless you. I thank you for every head bow, every eye closed. Thank you for those that are being saved. Thank you for those that need to be delivered. Thank you for those that's ready to grow up.